From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Sammy Brew probably gets this all the time. How can a 15-year-old kid write so many songs that say so much about life? Keep in mind, he just turned 15. So the songs he writes about broken hearts and despair and the restlessness of making art, they were written when he was even younger, 13 and 14. He wrote his first at 10. So you get why he's being called a prodigy. Anyway, Sammy says the trick is paying attention to the stories he hears around him. I've never been heartbroken, he said. It's just me putting myself in other people's shoes. He says if he can get to the emotion of the story he hears, he can make a song out of it. Today in the program, Sammy Brew is joining us as we continue our series on local music. We hope you'll be with us after the news.
Still thinking about that conversation on StoryCorps? Or the story you caught last weekend on Snap Judgment? The voices you hear on public radio stay with you. You can have a lasting effect on public radio, too. KUER sustainers give ongoing monthly contributions, providing a steady stream of income so we can continue to bring you the programs you can't get out of your head. Become a sustainer today at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Not to put too much pressure on the kid, but people are expecting big things from Sammy Brew. Maybe you saw his photo in the New Yorker magazine recently or read the profile in Rolling Stone, the one where they called him an Americana prodigy. American songwriter used the word wunderkind. And that's a lot for any artist to live up to, maybe even more so if you're 15 and just barely 15. But if music is your thing, and music is clearly Sammy Brew's thing, it's got to be as exciting as it is scary. We're continuing our series on local music today, and even though he hasn't lived in Utah all that long, we're claiming him at least for today. Sammy Brew is joining us to talk a little bit, play some music. His debut EP album came out last year. Later this month, on the 27th of May, he's going to be playing a show at the Heavy Metal Shop in Salt Lake City. On May 31st, he's sharing a bill with Nashville singer-songwriter Aaron Lee Tastian at the Acoustic Space, also here in Salt Lake. We have details about all that. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. Sammy is currently working on a full-length album for the Nashville record for a Nashville record label. We'll maybe talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the program, too. But Sammy Brew, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to introduce his dad, too. Mike Brew is also with us, and he's agreed to chat a little bit, too. So Mike, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
I want to begin with something. Sam, I had heard you describe yourself as a troubadour from Portland. Is that right?
Yeah.
But living in Ogden.
Yeah.
What's the connection with Portland? I mean, not to say Ogden doesn't feel like home. It's been home, sort of, at least for a while. But is Portland where you kind of really feel connected musically, do you think?
I think that's where I learned the most about music, was in Portland and even Oregon. You know, like, me and my dad would go drive up in the woods, and you'd just turn on old Bob Dylan or The Band or something like that, and, like, he just taught me all these great musicians that are, like, now my favorites, even to this day. And even in Portland, I'd be walking down to Voodoo Donuts, and freaking, there's a guy with one arm strumming the guitar.
Yeah.
And he was like, and he just gave it all he got, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, so I think that's where I learned it, about music.
I heard a story, I think, Mike, you were telling the story about your sisters were younger and they were sort of misbehaving, so you'd drive to get them to settle down, and that's when you were playing all this music and he was just listening.
Yeah, when we lived out on the Oregon coast, when my second daughter or my first daughter was born, and I lived in Lincoln City, Oregon down there, and one of the things, you know, growing up there, a lot of hunting, a lot of fishing, so we spent a lot of time in the woods, and when my youngest, or she was my youngest at the time, my first daughter, would never go to sleep, and so it was constant drives, and if we're going to go for a drive, let's go to the woods, let's kind of see where the herd movement is, see if we can find, you know, do a little scouting at the same time. And Sammy would just be back there in his car seat, you know, because he was still little. And as she would pass out, he would just, you know, gaze out the window and be listening to it. And as he grew, you know, you would start hearing him hum along. You know, you'd start hearing him sing along. So that's kind of where the older music came in. You know, we listened to Lead Belly or Robert Johnson, Bob Dylan, whatever it was. It had to be older than what was on the radio.
Right. You know? And that's the stuff they really loved.
Yeah. And I don't know if they loved it at the time, but
it seems to have had an influence on him. What do you remember, Sammy? I mean, that was a long time ago, I'm guessing, but do you remember what it was that you felt like you loved about those songs? Or was it just, can you put a...
I think it was when I was younger, about that age, like, I don't know, I thought it was on the radio, you know, like, I didn't know it was, like, super old, but, like, as I grew up, and was like listening. I listened to like mainstream music, because I hated that kind of music because I listened to it so much. And I think it was about right before we moved to Utah. I like was like, all right, this is good music, you know. Like this is like, because I would YouTube, like even today, like I YouTube like the behind the scenes of like what made the song and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And, like, all of the stuff on the radio nowadays is just, like, people tell you what to do, and, like, you're not really doing it for the love of music. You do it because that's how you get rich and famous, you know? Yeah. And then I'd look at these old people like Bob Dylan and Lead Belly and Robert Johnson and Johnny Cash, like, Walk the Line, that movie, like I'd watch that all the time with my dad. And he would listen to people like the Avett Brothers and Old Crow Medicine Show, and I think, and even Justin Townsend, like I'd look at YouTube videos and interviews of them to like see what's different from them to the people on the radio, and they did it because they love music.
Wow. So you were, it wasn't just the music you were listening to, you wanted to hear them talk about the music.
Yeah. That stuff just excites me, you know?
Wow. So, okay, I want to have you play just a little bit of I Don't Want to Die, and you haven't played it for a long time. Let's just sort of warn people. But this was one of your – was this a fairly early song?
Yeah, I wrote it after I listened to, well, the Big Rock Candy Mountain. Like, that kind of – I was, like, really into that kind of music because I was listening to – I watched Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, like, every day for, like, a month.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This song just...
I have to say, it's such a folk song. And when people hear it, you'll absolutely hear a little bit of Dylan in there.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, there's a story in here, too. It's a drifter that you actually saw on the street?
Yeah, yeah. I wrote the first verse about, like, I wrote, like, half of it. And then I went and busked on 25th Street, and I met a drifter, and he was telling me all these stories about him getting stabbed and all that kind of stuff, and then I finished it, like, right after that.
Wow.
So.
Play a chunk of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just about to turn, then we started to cry. I looked at a fellow hobo and said, wait, we never died. He gave me a shrug and a pat on the back, then out came angel wings. Then I blabbed out loud, I've never seen such thing. I don't wanna die, I don't wanna die, I don't wanna die, I got said alright. So yeah, the song's pretty much about a hobo who keeps cheating death, and until finally in the end that he's like, I'm sick of this, I just want to die, you know?
Right. Do you think of a song like a story that's playing out? Like, here's a beginning, here's a middle part, and, you know, like an actual story, or do you think of it more like a poem? Like, there's sort of a story in there, but it doesn't have to follow any really, you know, beginning, middle, end sort of pattern.
That's a tricky question, you know, because Like, most of the time when I was younger, like, I was really into, like, the story, like, tell you the story kind of thing. But nowadays it's like, I just want to tell you what's going on, like in the world or, like, in my life or something like that. Like, I don't tell, like, well, she started out here and then she went over here and then she went. It was like, she's feeling this way, she did this, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So, like, we're just, I mean, sometimes I tell a story, like my newest song, it's called I Know. Like, it's about me wanting to go somewhere and play a song, and then I meet this girl and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, it's on and off.
Yeah. There's a song called Once a Lover. What would you sing that?
You want me to?
Yeah, I want to. There, it's one of those. Where did this come from?
This is a special song about my grandmother that I never got to meet, and it was my dad's mom.
Yeah,
and they didn't have a lot of money growing up, and she didn't even care. Like, she did whatever she could to, like, put food on the table and keep my dad and his brother and sister happy. And it wasn't about the money. It was about teaching them, like, what, like, love is, and like, keeping them happy. And, like, even if you don't have money, you can still be happy, you know? So, like, it's pretty much about how big of an inspiration she is.
Great. Well, when you're ready, go for it.
All right.
This is Once a Lover, Sammy Brew.
I sit back as a fire burned the tracks, and I kept my distance. But once it was over, I followed you home. I broke down that fence. I'm not leaving, so go lock your door. Tell me that you love me more and more. Keep telling all these people who you're writing those songs for. Seems like I don't hear that stuff anymore. I've been around, and the things I've found are all on your wish list. But I couldn't catch them, couldn't bring them home. Now you can't get your rest. What are you doing all of this for? Just tell me that you love me more and more. Keep telling all these people who you're writing those songs for. Seems like I don't hear that stuff anymore. Thank you.
your door and tell me that you love me more and more. Keep telling all these people we are writing those songs for. I don't get to hear that stuff anymore.
Sammy Brew. We have a link to his EP album, I Don't Want You to Leave, on our website. Next Friday night, that's May 27th, he's playing a show at the Heavy Metal Shop in Salt Lake City. At the 31st, he's sharing a bill with Nashville singer-songwriter Aaron Lee Tastian at the Acoustic Space, also in Salt Lake. Again, links to all of that on our website, radiowest.org. Sammy's with us, his dad Mike also with us. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we continue our local music series with singer-songwriter Sammy Brew. He lives in Ogden from Portland. Rolling Stone called him an Americana prodigy. The magazine said, when you hear his music, it's hard not to think of Dylan in his early days. He has an EP out. He's gotten a lot of attention at music festivals around the country. He's signed a record deal with a Nashville label, and he's headed there soon. So we were, I think, lucky to get him today. He's joining us here in the studio along with his dad, Mike. Mike, do you think, we'll talk behind Sammy's back for a minute. Do you think Sammy's an introvert?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, even when, before he was doing music, we would try and put him in sports, and the whole interaction with other kids just wasn't what he was about. So that didn't last long.
What do you mean? Like that he just kind of wanted to be by himself? He was...
Yeah,
thinking to himself.
Yeah, my youngest right now is playing softball.
Yeah.
She's just starting, 8 years old.
Right.
And when she is in the dugout, that is the greatest. It's more so than the game. It's just we're in the dugout. We're doing cheers. That is what she is about.
Right.
That was the worst part for Sammy. Like when he was little, if he had to be in a team sport or be with a group of kids that weren't of his choice, or it was very hard for him and he would just kind of sink back in. When we moved to Utah, of course, being from Portland, it's complete culture shock when you show up here. What is important to a 10-year-old in Utah is not as important in Portland, Oregon, and vice versa. So when we would... try and put him in sports. He's like, no, that is not going to happen. Because he's, kids here are competitive.
Yeah.
And they want to
win. And he was not
into
that. He just didn't want that at all.
No. And so as they're doing that, he would sit in his bedroom and play guitar and write songs. And, the only time he would put himself out there was through music, whether it was a YouTube video or an open mic, but he only had to count on himself. It was himself going out there and no one else.
Sammy, do you see it that way? Like that music in some way has been the thing that's helped you connect or just like express yourself? How do you think of it in those ways?
I think of it as it's helped Sammy Brew, not so much Sam Thornbrew, because when I'm at school, I'm just chilling, like nothing much has changed. Sing class, listen to music. But I just got a write-up in the Standard Examiner or something.
Yes.
And then within a day, everybody was talking to me. Teachers were nicer, Like it was weird. But I'll go to friend's house because I have a very small amount of friends that I really hang out with.
Yeah.
And I'll go to their house and there'll be someone new that I've never seen and they'll freak out. And then they'll come up to me and be like, hey, are you that kid? And be like, gosh, dang it. Now I have to
I don't want to be that kid.
I want to be a kid, but it's like, it's a part of me now.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to live this dream, I'm going to have to live more on the Sammy Bruce side than the Sam Thornbrew side.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. Like that Woody Guthrie song you wrote when you were 10.
Yeah, that was about, that was just like talking about how like I like to play guitar.
Yeah, young boy in his first guitar, dreams of being a rock and roll star, talks about how his journey starts in his bedroom writing music.
Yeah.
Dreams of making a record someday. I mean, that was only like 5 years ago, but I mean, but you were sort of laying it out in some way, right?
Yeah,
in that song?
Yeah, like I kind of like called it, you know?
Yeah,
like because that's like from the very start, like that's what I wanted to do, like,
yeah,
because I'm not like, when you really like find the aspect of like sports, like you're gonna have to play on a high school team, then you get picked by a college team, and, like. Rarely ever happens at NBA, like, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, but like music, and I didn't like it as much as I liked music, so, and when I really like something and I want it to happen, like that's all I focus on,
right?
And so I did kind of call it in that song, because like I knew that's what I wanted to do.
He lives his life like a Woody Guthrie song on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Like you got in Rolling Stone. Mike, he's kind of probably going to be on the cover at some point, right? We're sort of crossing our fingers.
Yeah, you cross your fingers on it, you know.
I want to have you sing Control Freak. When did you write this song? This is sort of about Kurt Cobain?
Yes. And what I like to do, if you don't know, I put myself in other people's shoes when I write songs.
Yeah.
And this one was like about Kurt Cobain, you know, and like, or just any other, like, it freaks people out when I say the song is about drugs, because they're like, oh my gosh, he's singing about him doing drugs. Like, it's not about me doing drugs. It's just like people get sad and they decide to make the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And then people think of him different. And like, it's just about that, you know, like, because like I've seen a lot of movies and even in real life, like, I've seen people like do that stuff and they're like super sad and then they keep doing it because they're sad,
yeah.
You know?
Here's one of the lyrics. You say, I want to be happy, but the methods I use is against me.
Yeah, because like when you meet someone who's like a drug addict, you most of the time you like don't really know.
Yeah.
And then because if you do know, you're going to be like, oh, he's not a good person.
Yeah.
Like, but then again, you want to be happy, so like, you decide to do something that you shouldn't do, and you have to hide it because people will think of you different.
Yeah.
And like,
do you feel like you're a control freak when it comes to your art?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Sad little control freak.
Like, yeah. I just like get crazy when I don't know. It's just I'm very protective of my art.
Yeah, good for you. Here's Control Freak.
All right, Sammy Bird. There's a hole in my wall. Sometimes I wonder how big it will be. There's a hole in my heart. They say it's supposed to help with instincts. I wanna be happy, but the methods I use are against me. And I am nice, but when it hits, I'm a control freak. I'm a sad little control freak. I'm a sad little control freak. I'm a sad little control freak. Then we sing our song. Towers are high and I am very scared of heights. And now I am lying, I am just as high as my fright. What am I saying? People will think I'm crazy. What am I thinking? People already think I'm crazy.
show free, then we sing our song. Our song, our song, we sing our song.
Sammy Brew. So, Mike, there's a thing that Sammy said once. He said that he talks about the importance of paying attention. Like at times with you and films, obviously he talks about movies that he's seen or things that he sees on the street or whatever, and he's paying attention to all this stuff. He's always observing. And he said, my parents never tried to shelter me from it. So I wanted to, you guys did something right. I mean, in the sense that, I mean, that's tough for like a kid because you want them to know about the realistic stuff in the world, but also you want to protect them kind of. Did you ever consciously think about, no, we want them to be exposed, or just this is sort of what happened?
It was a conscious choice.
Huh.
In my life, in my childhood, I grew up in a pretty rough area. You know, we grew up pretty poor. I never knew my father. I lost my mother as a teenager. Yeah. And part of how I got through that is I had no false expectations in life. And I've seen the way things affect other people who are sheltered, you know, coming to Utah. I've seen in life where you're sheltered and then you get this freedom and life comes and smacks you upside the head, and I've seen people just really lose it because of that. Mm-hmm. And with my kids, I don't want them to have this falsehood of life that we see in media, that we see on TV, that we see in an after-school special. Mm-hmm. You know, life is life, and it's not against you. It's not for you. It just is. Good things are going to happen to you. Bad things are going to happen to you. But it's what you do with those things that will develop your character. And so with my kids, it's like, yeah, you know, we're all imperfect. Don't try and be perfect because you're going to be disappointed. And that was just kind of my take on it.
Kind of cool to see it reflected in music, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Unless the song has something, you know, that I'm like, was that me?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There was a line in one of his songs and it was like, this life I'm, or something in the house is a lie or something like that. I was like, hey, you know, what are you, don't you giggle? You know, it was like, was that me? Mom? Was it? Who
hey,
was
you
that?
You got to take the good with the bad, right?
Absolutely.
Justin Towns Earl, I wanted to ask about him because he seems like he's been some kind of a powerful influence on you. How is it that you ended up on his album cover for Single Mothers? If you haven't seen it, it's great, by the way, the album cover.
Well, I am a good model, I've been told, you
know?
But I've been a huge Justin Towns Earl fan, you know. He wanted me to, like, he, like, made me want to, like, start finger-picking, like... And then, like, I was watching live videos of him, and he'd do this thing where he slaps his guitar.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to learn that. Steal that from him, you know? But
how'd you meet him?
I just met him one day, you know? Like, he had a show down at the stateroom.
Wow.
I couldn't go, so I was like, might as well try to meet him, you know? And I just got this new guitar, brought it down there, and I said, will you sign my guitar? And, he was like, of course, you know, he was super nice. And he signed my guitar. And then was it the second time I met him that he asked me? Like, I don't know, like, what happened. Like, he just fell in love with me. And
well, wait, but you played for him, right?
No.
No, seriously?
Yeah. I think it was, like, he just checked me out on the internet.
That's cool.
He started to get it, and, like...
It was the second time when we met him at the Gallivan Center. You were playing for him. You guys were hanging out in the back, and...
And, like, a month before I met him, he, like, sent me a Twitter, whatever it's called, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, I gotta tell you something. In the next month, when I meet you, come to the show, and I'll tell you or something. And I was like... My mind was racing, you know, like, do I get to be on his album? Do I get to, like, blah, blah, blah? Like, and then I finally got there, and he came up to me, and all these people with cameras, we were there, and he was like, I want you to be on the cover of my next album. I was like, he's like, I'm going to fly you out to Nashville, and you're going to be a model. We'll get a girl so you can hold her hand. And I was like, all right.
I want to ask about John Moreland, too, because I know he's been an influence in terms of his songwriting. And I was listening this morning to a couple of his songs, Heaven, and it was one. He writes, we send our love to the sky, we ask forgiveness and try to fly. We couldn't help but question why, heaven only knows. What kind of influence does that kind of lyricism, his kind of writing, has that had on you, do you think, if it has?
Well, before I met John Moreland or saw him at the heavy metal shop, I was singing a lot of, like, the G, C, and D kind of songs, you know, about, like, hoboing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he really, like, opened up my eyes to, like, all the, like, minor chords and, like, putting all the, like, four chords together. Like, after that, I think I wrote, like, my first four-chord song, you know, like, and, like, that's what started the whole not tell a story but tell how it is kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because he does that, you know?
That's your work now. I mean, that's what that stuff is now.
Yeah, he definitely had a huge impression on me for sure.
Does White fit in that category, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not as depressing as a John Moreland song. But.
I'll have you do depressing in a minute. Will you do White for us?
Yeah, of course.
Now, I don't know what the sort of background story. I mean, you got in trouble at school, and you sort of worked this out in the office at school. Is that the story?
Yeah, I don't even remember what I got in trouble for, but I was in the office, and I had to stay there and eat lunch there or something. And I pulled out my phone and started writing down lyrics. When I got home, I finished it. So.
Is that how it works? It starts with the lyrics part, or does it start with the
lyrics? Not always. Yeah. You know, like, it's on and off for sure. Like, the way I write songs is so just mixed up and unorganized that it's just like its own thing, you know?
Yeah. But, here it is, White, Sammy Brew.
Same old thing happens whenever I see you, and all these things people say are true. A house made of plastic is where I stand my ground, and you came up to me saying you messed up with a frown. My shame's coming back again, and I just need a friend for the night, and our lives are such a damn fright. And do you mind if I see you one last time before I die? I'm really falling behind. You told me to get in the car, don't look behind, put your feet in the Oregon sand and tell me what you find. My shame's coming back again, and I just need a friend for the night, and our lives are such a damn fright. And do you mind if I see you one last time before I die? I'm really falling behind. Shame's coming back again, and I just need a friend for the night. Our lives are such a damn fright. And do you mind if I see you one last time before I die? I'm really falling behind. And do you mind if I see you one last time before I die? I'm really falling behind.
Sammy Brew, we have a link to his EP album, I Don't Want You to Leave, on our website next Friday night. That's the 27th. He's playing a show at the Heavy Metal Shop. On the 31st, he's playing at the Acoustic Space. You can get links to all of that on our website, radiowest.org. Sammy's here with his dad, Mike. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our local music series with Sammy Brew. He's here with us in the studio. His dad, Mike, is also with us. I wanted to ask you about... One of these things you've talked about is you've said, like, I've heard the genre described as Americana. I've heard it described as folk. And I'm wondering what you think about that as a genre, like as a category. Do you feel comfortable in that, or does it bug you being kind of pigeonholed in a space?
I could care less about what my music's called as long as people like it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I heard you also say that you said... You're talking about collaborating with other artists, and you said all these artists write songs for themselves, and then they work hard every year to get them out there, and it shows me what I have to do and what I can expect. And you said you have no desire to try and shortcut the system. Like, what do you mean by that? That you realize you have to go through this process, pay your dues to get where you want? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes. Definitely the thing I want most as a musician is respect, you know? Like, yeah. I know that sounds like, oh, I want respect, but, like, that's what every musician wants, except for the ones that want to take a shortcut and just want all the fame and glory. Like, I want to do it because it's what I love to do.
Yeah.
And if I really love it, if you really love it, you're not going to shortcut your way through it. Like, people who do, like, I'm not bagging on The Voice or American Idol or whatever, but, like, that's such a shortcut to get your name out there. And, like, and people have asked us to do The Voice and, like, come in and do The Voice, and I'll say, no, thank you. First of all, I'm not even old enough. Second of all, like, I don't want to, you know?
You want to go through the
process. I want to put in work.
Yeah. I want to have you sing, if you would, I Never Said. And it's kind of it seems like a depressing song, but you said, you've talked about how incredibly happy you were when you wrote it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but I did notice this lyric. All this pressure on me is too much.
Yeah.
You feeling that?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. You should feel that in some ways.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like, people put all this pressure on you to do good. Like, and if, like, it's not you, and they're expecting you to do something you normally wouldn't do, then it's stressful, you know?
Yeah, I get it. All right, here it is. I Never Said, Sammy Brew.
as good as a rich man's boots. People lie saying they ain't sad whenever they lose. Screaming at the top of our lungs cause we have nothing to do. Throwing punches at the people cause they don't believe in you. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. The back door, then I'm counting my mistakes by three or fours. Cause all this pressure on me, it is too much. I'm sorry this is so depressing, but that is just my luck. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. White, let me say one more thing. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry. I never said I didn't love you, I said I'm sorry.
I never said Sammy Brew. He said, "Now I'm going to heaven without no ring." What does that mean? Because I noticed in Wishing Well, the song, you said, "I'm about to lose my ring." Is the ring a thing?
The ring? Not really. You totally just like brought that up in my mind. I had no idea about that. But it's about like, you know, being a screw up and dying lonely.
Yeah.
You know? Like you said, like I was so happy when I wrote that. Like I was having a good old time.
So you kind of enjoy the idea of writing about despair. It's kind of
yeah.
How do you describe like success? You know, like what's the thing that like going to make you think? Because you said you sort of got it. I mean, you're headed there, right? So how do you know when you are successful, whatever that means?
I think it's when I'm really connecting with people with music. Like, I could care less about money. Like, I've told my dad and parents this like plenty of times, like my first house is literally going to be a trailer, you know. Like, but like I just like I want people to connect with me, and like I just got this Facebook message not too long ago that said my house burnt down. The first thing I went and did when went in my car, I put in your CD and I just listened to music like for hours on end.
Wow.
And like that was like that was awesome for me. That's when I was like, wow, like I'm really, it's starting, you know, like I'm starting to connect with people. And like people come up to me on the streets and be like, I literally listen to your music all the time because like it's so good and you're such a good songwriter and you write about things that I've went through, you know, and like it's awesome.
You've talked about how you really like the musician Bon Iver. Sort of, yeah. Where he's ended up. That's kind of where you're thinking of in some way?
Well, the thing about Bon Iver is he totally, like, because the first album that he made, he was, like, heartbroken, so he wrote a whole bunch of songs and just went into a cabin and recorded it.
Yeah.
And it was like, if there, you won't find another album out there that's like that. Like, he put so much emotion into that album, and he made a new sound, which is, like, the perfect combination right there. And he connected with a lot of people who were either heartbroken or just loved a good song.
Well, I know you're trying to whittle down 29 songs for the new album. Are you getting anywhere near figuring out which ones are going to go on this new album?
Kind of. You know, we haven't even recorded like demos for all my songs. Like, I've written like 45 songs.
Wow.
And, but there's some where I'll just be like, nope, I ain't playing that. There's nothing good about it. I don't like it. So we're not putting it on an album.
You guys are headed to Nashville. Mike, are you pulling up roots here and just going to sort of settle in Nashville for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the plan as far as geographically. There are plenty of markets within even a half day's drive that are very, I would say, Sammy Brew, Americana friendly.
Yeah.
It's tough here in Utah with the liquor laws the way they are. He can't even go into, say, even a concert venue like the State Room to open for, say, Justin Townsend or John Moreland because of this veil they have for the liquor, thinking that hiding that from children is going to somehow save them. And so we lose out on a lot of opportunities here, yeah. Unfortunately, that in the South, Southeast and Midwest and the East Coast that are available to him there. So as much as we love it, if he's going to be able to pursue this dream, we have
to go
do
somewhere
that.
Else.
Yeah.
Our loss. Well, I know that you've talked about your mom when she lives in Nashville. She wants to live in the suburb. You were hoping for something more gritty, like the ghetto you said in Nashville, which brings up a song called East Nashville, which is in some ways I sensed it as sort of your way of saying goodbye to Utah. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, I wrote that
a long time ago.
Did you? It was on the banjo, too.
Wow.
It was, I don't know, I just got bored and, like, I listened to a Hayes Carl song and said Bye Bye Baby in it, and I was like, oh, Bye Bye Baby, huh? I was like, bye bye baby, stay away from me. I'm moving down to East Nashville. And people love that song, which is weird because I, like, rarely play it anymore.
Well, I'm glad you'll play it finally for us. Let me say that Sammy Brew, next Friday night, he's going to be playing a show at the Heavy Metal Shop in Salt Lake City on the 31st. He's playing at the Acoustic Space. You can get details about all of that and keep a lookout for that new full-length album, which is on its way. Sammy Brew, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike, thanks a lot for being with us, too. I'll mention that Radio West is a production of KUER News. Thanks to our operations manager, Michael Havey, our engineer, Lewis Downey, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Here's Sammy Brew with East Nashville.
I'm lovesick, I can't love again. You ask why, and I say, where do I begin?
So I'm coming home, Mama, I'm coming home. Bye-bye, baby, stay away from me. I'm moving down to East Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, I said, bye-bye, baby, stay away from me. I'm moving down to East Nashville. You're just another song playing in my head. I'll write it down and I'll play it to you instead. This is how it goes. I say bye-bye, baby, just stay away from me. I'm moving down to Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, I say bye-bye, baby, stay away from me. I'm moving down to East Nashville. That your love was strong. I guess that I was just more than wrong. Listen to my words. I say bye-bye, baby, stay away from me. I'm moving down to East Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, I say bye-bye, baby, stay away.